Greetings, this is James Ginnell with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a little house cleaning first to do, or housekeeping. I shouldn't say cleaning, but we've got September 7th through the 10th. We've got the Sustainability Weekend, Earth Bag, Dome, and Treehouse. Are you with us, Jocelyn?
I am.
All right, so we're going to skip all the housekeeping and everything else. People can go to the eSETIEvents.com if you want to find out all the amazing events scheduled here in the future. We're right in the middle of the ambassador training and doing a live show here. Hopefully we'll get through this. And sorry for all the confusion here. It looks like the studio is under siege and they're like to take out their computers. They hit ours a few weeks ago, and every agency on the planet was in our computer. It was pretty amazing. But, you know, if you're over the target, you're going to get flack. So to me, I just think we're doing something right. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Are you with us?
Yeah, sorry about that.
So let's just talk about the event you've got coming up here. And, you know, we've got the Divine Feminine Sacred Dance Workshop, and you're saying that it's more than just the Divine Feminine, and it's more of just bringing in the divine energy and talking about the how this energy flows through the body, you know, by doing the sacred dance. But we'll just take it from there and let us know what you're up to on September 23rd, actually 21st through the 24th.
Yeah, so my collaborator and I, Barbara Lima, and I will be taking participants through different movement exercises that are based in, you know, that begin in the breath, using a lot of breath work, and then movement exercises that allow us to use movement to get in touch with the flow of energy in our chakras, as well as our ability to articulate through different parts of our body, and eventually our ability to create what are called movement mantras, kind of essence ideas through kinesthetic phrases that we create. And we're using the principles of the Divine Feminine as kind of our foundational baseline, and those principles being surrender, release, points where the body can flow and dissolve versus the masculine principle would be maybe pushing through versus releasing into. So we'll be doing a lot of building exercises that are movement-based to create those movement mantras, as well as breath work, as well as using the lens of the ancient Mayan calendar, or more specifically, the dream spell calendar, which was channeled by a man named Jose Arguez. And I studied that system for a long time, and I bring it into my movement work often as a lens through which to look at different archetypes and creation principles that we hold in the body that are different pathways towards divine energy.
Great. Now, when I was a long time ago, when I was with the TIC, they had a thing called Dancing Through Spirit. And, you know, they did all kinds of, you know, they taught how to heal unseen negative influences and, and you know, all that stuff, but safeguards for pure channeling and everything else. But one of the things they taught there was dancing through spirit, or allowing spirit to dance through you. And also too, it seems like it's similar to what you're doing, but I'm curious about, are you talking about like cellular memory, how that gets locked up in the body and these movements and this energy moves through and kind of unlocks that cellular memory?
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely cellular memory. I think that, you know, one of the deepest places that we hold everything is in our cells. And we tend as humans, especially in our culture in North America, to use a lot of other pathways to try to access that. And we forget often about the body. But the cellular patterning is patterning that's also mimicked in our muscular holding patterns. And so we're wanting to access that through a lot of different levels in the physical body. It's really we believe that it's really the conduit through which everything moves. You know, we're meant to be embodied here. So this body is like this great tool that we have to contact and to connect to spirit. And also, it's an amazing hindrance that we have, too, because it can really store things, and it's very easy to become unconscious of what it's storing.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a bit with, I've noticed that in today's society, you know, unfortunately, it is kind of a patriarchal society, but that is changing. and everything's external. And a lot of the spiritual practices, even religious practices, teach you that, you know, you have this external God, you have this external savior, and they kind of teach that almost like the physical body is bad, you know, it's unclean. Mm. Yeah. And they have all these programs and almost to keep you from connecting to Earth, you know. And if it wasn't for Gaia, we wouldn't have a body, you know. And so
exactly.
I think that disconnect is why there is so much, you know, disease and illness and sickness on the planet. And even Chief Seattle said, you know, you take a man out of nature, you harden his heart. And and I think that is the game, you know, that's been played for so long, is to keep people separate from the Earth, from their own physical body, which is comes from the Earth, and that divine feminine, which, you know, nurtures us and gave us life, basically.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely see that play out in the way that we relate to our bodies, and also in the way that we tend to think of spirit or an idea of heaven or paradise as being separate from the Earth. And that innately is kind of supporting the paradigm that that somehow spirit and the divine happens outside of the body. And what Barbara and I really like to do through our work and through our work with groups is to kind of recall that ancient memory that the divine and that deep sense of spirit is married to the body and can be found from deep within sensation, and that there's nothing that we have to run or hide from. And instead, it's this amazing access point that we have, like a tuning fork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. What I found out, you know, in my search, and I was doing this whole thing on trying, you know, I was doing celibacy and a vegetarian and all these things and trying to become spiritual and leave the Earth. And I found out I was going about it all wrong, because basically you need to ground the energy, you know, into every cell of our being, and the body creates a quickening and then rises up. But through denial is not the path. And by not bringing that energy into our physical bodies and grounding it, again, that's where most of our problems come from. And a lot of the organizations out there actually try to keep you separate from grounding this energy into the body, and, you know, with all these divisions and beliefs and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
So your main goal, like through the workshop, is to get people in touch with their bodies, to move whatever stuck or stagnant energy is, you know, existing within the body, and probably connect people into their own, whatever you want to call it, goddess self, God self. I don't think it has a gender on the highest levels, but I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely all of that I would echo, as well as to introduce people to various channels through which they can access the wisdom of their body. So we want to really offer a lot of channels, and then we want people to be able to leave with various different tools, as well as tools that they can use as part of a daily practice if they want to, as part of like a really accessible daily physical practice that can connect them to that divine internal energy, both feminine and masculine. So definitely about getting in touch, experimenting with different channels, learning how to hold space for each other within that, and then also leaving with a new set of tools, you know, to add to however one orients themselves in their spiritual practice.
Yeah, I think it is so important that we empower people and give them tools and techniques that they can take with them and use. And there does seem to be a huge movement right now, you know, where people are moving into that. And I think, you know, I've always said, you know, everybody that goes, who are you voting for, you know, for president? And I always say a council of grandmothers, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we need, you know, grandmothers don't send their kids and their nephews to war. You know, they know the importance of family. They know the importance of, you know, gardens and healthy food and things of that nature. And we've gotten so far away from that I think
Absolutely.
It's really important, you know, and not to go on a negative. You know, everybody kept saying, you know, we want a woman for president. And I said, too bad one didn't run, you know. But yeah, she didn't really exude the divine feminine, if you ask me. She had more of a masculine energy to her. And I would really love to see, you know, a very strong woman, a woman of heart, you know, and a woman that's not afraid to allow that love and nurture an energy flow through her, step into the White House. I think it'd be awesome.
Absolutely. And I think that you touched on something really key there, which I really feel like Barbara and I are passionate about in our movement workshops, is that the idea that, you know, the divine feminine, when it comes into balance energetically, it calls the divine masculine into balance, and vice versa, because both of them, when they're out of balance, are these energies that in their own ways create destruction. So the divine feminine, when it's out of balance, can manifest as, you know, a passivity that's destructive, a manipulation that's toxic. And the divine masculine, when it's out of balance, you know, can manifest as like an invasion, an inclination towards violence or aggression. And then the beauty is, or that basically the problem has been that we think that we need to, move away from both of these frequencies instead of just find the other side of them. So the divine feminine imbalance is this ability, just like you touched on now, to like surrender and receive and love and love and love and open. And the divine masculine imbalance is this ability to like hold and be the mountain and be the rock and be the arrow, you know. And those energies are like we've already mentioned, are not related to gender. You know, there's something that we all need to call upon in ourselves so that we can bring them both into balance. You know, I think that's really the path towards healing collectively. And then, you know, another reason that Barbara and I like to explore that through movement is because we also believe that one of the stigmas that kept people from really being able to engage with their bodies and with those frequencies and principles of the feminine and negative in the, or feminine and masculine within their own bodies is the idea that only dancers are allowed to create movement. And it's a big misconception. You know, everybody is a dancer, everybody is a mover, we all have a body. So we really, in our workshop, aim to kind of work on those stigmas that keep people from allowing themselves the freedom of movement and exploration in their physical being.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of men. Some of the workshops I do here, and some of them we'd kick on the music and say, okay, move, get up and move. And a lot of the men would just sit there and go, I don't know about this. You know, it's kind of interesting watching that old program. And you really think about, for 1,000 years, women have been really suppressed. I mean, in the old days, you used to go and raid the village and you'd steal the gold and the women and sell them off as cattle. And, you know, the satraps would, you know, grab the young ones and then throw them out in the streets when they're done and get a younger model. And that's been going on for a long time. So that's all cellular memory. That's stuff trapped in the body,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
And the men have had to go to war and constantly be the ones to bring home the bacon and all these other things. And they're fed up with that program, too. And so there's a balance coming where I know a lot of the men want to stay at home more. And you know, the women want to get out more, you know, and do things more. And so it's kind of nice that things are finally coming into balance. And I think it's workshops like this and the work that you're doing, you know, helps to bring that out and also helps release that old cellular memory and those old programs by freeing up, you know, the body where that's trapped in and supporting, supporting movement and freedom, you know, and the divine feminine having a voice, having an expression where it's safe,
absolutely,
you know, to release the past.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, some of the things you're going to be doing, I know you've got some of the breath work. Is that similar to like holotropic breath work or is it a different?
It's got some elements of that. It's more based in different pranayama techniques from yogic practices, including Kundalini yoga. And it takes a teeny bit from some concepts from Wim Hof. But it's basically some basic pranayama stuff that is all about connecting specific breath patterns to specific movements so that we're bringing like a thread between the breath and the body, whereas often the breath operates, you know, separately from, it almost operates without making a conscious connection to the body. But when we really like bring the breath consciously into alignment with a particular movement, it's almost like doubling the power of healing that's available. I think of the breath as the thread between the other world and this world. So bringing consciousness to how we connect the breath to our movement really allows us, I think, to access a tremendous amount of healing that's available for us in these other realms.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the tenets of yoga. I used to do bhakti yoga a long time ago, and they would talk about how certain postures, that energy be trapped in those postures, and it'd be like a certain type of consciousness, like there'd be universal lessons going throughout the planet, and you'd have 30 people in the class, and we'd meditate and say, okay, what are you dealing with today? What is your major issue that you're dealing with? And out of the 30 people, 25 would come up with the same thing. You know, it'd be like family issues or my mother, you know, or something. It was amazing how many people all had the same experience, you know, and when you meditate and get it down to one word. And then the teacher would say, okay, and she would know where that sits in the body, where that energy sits in the body, and she would gear the classes to that, and you'd hold that position longer and breathe into that position, and then things would be released, you know, and people would come out of there all smiling, their aches and pains would be gone, and things like that. And I'm really glad you're bringing that kind of energy back into the planet here, because it's so important for people to learn that. I know a lot of the holotropic people, for a while there, they just see holotropic, the breath work came from India. It's a spiritual practice, and they took it and turned it into a psychology thing. And then they decided, we're going to take all spirituality out of it, and we're going to turn it into more of a business and a process. Yeah. And you can't invoke, you know, any kind of healing or spiritual energy or any other masters into it or anything else. And they started getting into trouble because they started losing some people, and there was no protection established. And we saw that happen quite a bit, where people go out of body and then something else would step in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be a real danger in that. I mean, disconnecting it for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like they shifted after that. They kind of figured it out and they started doing things a little differently. But I think whenever we try to make something commercial or try to unhook it from the spiritual path, even the divine feminine, when we push that out of anything, it always seems to go in the toilet or it goes awry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, just look at the planet right now.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's not rocket science, you know. It's pretty obvious the lack of love and joy and nurture and energy and the respect for life just isn't really apparent right now. And that does come through the feminine mostly, you know. It's in the masculine as well. So you have the breath work, and then you have the dancing, the movement through dancing. Is there other things that you'll be introducing?
Yeah, so we have the breath work, and then we have the movement itself has a lot of different levels of, you know, of layers that we'll build on top of. So we're going to be breaking down movement in, you know, every single part of the body. We're going to be thinking about movement in connection with visualization. We're going to be doing some guided improvisation with movement. We're going to be doing some movement repetition. Almost like, again, when I use that word movement mantra, it's like the idea of when you say a vocal mantra, you're saying it because the words on repetition recreate, you know, new patterns in your cells or in your spirit. And similarly, there's certain movements that when you repeat with repetition, they have the same power that a mantra has. So we're going to be doing that kind of work, playing with, you know, like loosening the body and all the ways that make us feel like we can be open channels. And then we're going to bring in a little bit of mudra work and bring it down into the hands so that people have kind of different options of, like, how big and how small. Like, there's so many different ways that you can approach the body, and movement that's in the fingers is just as powerful as movement that's in the whole body. So we really want to explore, like, the micro all the way to the macro. And then we're also bringing in this element of the Mayan astrology and some of the movements that we're going to be talking about, that system a little bit, that ancient system and some of the archetypes and energies that are connected to that system. And then we use movement as a vehicle to explore that system and to embody some of those archetypes and some of those creation principles.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know some of the music that you use, I know in breathwork, they use music that affects like each chakra and things like that. Are you geared kind of towards the same thing, like certain movements and the music and the other things will actually help, you know, clear and break up anything in each chakra?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely choose our movement, breathwork, and music really consciously related to which chakras we're exploring, as well as just like what we're building onto, you know, so different frequencies in relation to the chakras, and also different frequencies in relation to like the emotional body, and maybe like what area of the emotional body we're exploring, and if we need something that's more activating versus something that's more calming. But music is a big part of it, as well as some vocalization, you know, and some self-made music, which we like to integrate into the experience.
Yeah, I sing great in the shower, but I don't think I want to be in a group.
You know, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I know it does. I mean, it's a very good way to get over any inhibitions and any blocks you have, and actually get your voice. A lot of people have serious blocks in their you know, in the fifth chakra.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, because they've been stifled as a kid, you know, they've told, you know, don't shut up, be quiet, don't make noise. I've seen, you know, I saw one thing happen to me when I was younger. I saw something that just blew my mind, that these kids were all laughing and having a good time, and their father came up and just slapped them, you know, really hard, because they were mirroring back to him his lack of joy, and it really upset him. And you know, and I went up and talked to this guy, and I said, you know what, people pay me a lot of money in counseling to deal with what you just did, you know. And you know, and I told him, I said, you know, that's a therapy session. What you just did just created a therapy session right there. And it's really sad when people are expressing like that and they're totally in their joy, and then something happens to just shut that down.
Absolutely. Yeah. And those patterns of being shut down, obviously they like scar the emotional body, but they also like they get held in the physical body, and they, you know, insidiously infect the way that we take up space in the world. So that's another reason why I think the vehicle of movement is so powerful, because it helps bring our attention to the way that our body is expressing some of our deeper emotional wounds, right? And the way that we like hold ourselves, and the way that we physically respond and lean in or pull back, and just in the way that we're comfortable taking up space with like the physical body as well as with the vocal body. And even the act of singing or making music is a dance in a way. It's a physical movement that's happening, but it's through the vocal box, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think any way to clear our channels, you know, through movement, through voice, anyway, is definitely welcome right now. And you know, it seems like the whole planet is in process, and there's so much energy coming in. We've got to figure out ways of clearing our channels, you know, and letting that energy come through us.
Absolutely. We need all the tools that we can get right now. It's definitely a really intense time to be on the planet.
Yeah. Now, have you noticed, I believe you're in Portland, but I know the cities are rough. I mean, we're out here, you know, our TV set is the mountain and the sky. And so we don't even know what's going on half the time, which is great. I'd rather be that way. But I wonder about in the cities, where there's just so much programming, you know, going on. You're just being bombarded constantly with all the psychic turbulence and everything else. It's probably even more important to find, you know, a safe place, you know, a space where you can, you know, feel safe and open up and process and reconnect, you know, with your own God or goddess within.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really like the use of the phrase psychic turbulence that you just used. That's a great way to speak to it, for sure. And I think that as we increasingly, you know, as the energy increases in the world, in this big paradigm shift that we're all encountering together, it's like everybody is needing to find ultimately new ways to create sanctuary within, because the external world is just gonna get more and more intense, and if we can't find like the true spaciousness of our internal world and our capacity to really, really go inside and find an anchor, then we're never gonna make it through bringing the planet basically from where it is to where it needs to get to, you know, because we can't rely on finding those sanctuaries in the external world necessarily. And so much of the world already lives that, you know, it's like, but I think we're feeling it more and more everywhere.
Yeah, I was curious how you see this work expanding. Are you going to expand out and maybe create any kind of a center or create some YouTube channels or things like that? Mm. I'm sure you've done some of that already, but
I think that's definitely a dream of both Barbara and I, is to be able to figure out what would be the best, like, how can we create a home to anchor this work? And so, her and I have already worked a lot with video creation together, and we want to continue down that path. But that, in a lot of ways, is how we met, actually, is through the work of bringing movement to video. And then we've thought about, you know, how could there be a center or centers where this work could be explored? How could we travel more? You know, between the two of us, we're pretty international, given that she's, you know, from Brazil and based in Brazil, although for right now she's in the United States. And, you know, I'm from Portland and based in the U.S. And so we've thought about different ways that we can travel more with this work and bring it to different demographics of people and make it more intergenerational. And how can it bridge gaps between, you know, people that are having really different experiences and being alive? So that's still what we're formulating in some ways, although for right now the format that it's taking is workshops and video creation.
Great. Yeah, we might have a couple ideas on that. So anyway,
awesome.
We can
have... Good.
I know. Have you been to the ranch before?
We were able to get up there for a day, and then Barbara was able to get up there again for a couple nights, and it was amazing. The feeling of that land is pretty incredible.
Yeah, you know, I really do feel that's one thing missing here is a lot more divine feminine workshop, a lot more art and dance and things like that. And we've been really working at trying to bring that in. And workshop's going to be an integral part of that. And I know we're going to expand on that too. And we're, you know, we've got the eSETI news and we're going to be doing the divine feminine. We're going to have a whole network assigned to the divine feminine and things like that. And Ashley, I'm sure, will be talking to you about that. But this thing is going to really take off, and I'm sure you could definitely play an integral part in that.
We would love that. Yeah.
How is your work being received? These workshops and things, are people really, really, you know, kind of wanting to be involved in this, or do you think you've been stifled a little bit, or?
Well, it's still emerging for us. Like I said, our breath of experience is more focused in, performance creation and video creation that express these concepts. And over the last year, Barbara and I really started to combine our passion for this into the form of workshops. And we offered workshops in Portland, and they were really well received. And we're just wanting to reach a larger audience, I think. What we most discovered was that between the two of us, we were able to really present kind of a magic fusion of our own, like, versatile backgrounds that, like, really created something that works well. And I think that's what excited both of us, was the kind of the co-creation that happens when we're together offering this particular work. But we were sort of blown open by how transformative just offering the workshops were for us, and how much it felt like people are thirsty for that space to be created, and also for spaces to be created where movement can be explored, with a spiritual lens and not just categorized as something that, again, is for, like, professional dancers or people that consider themselves, like, on that path of dance. It's something that, like, really needs to be reintegrated into, like, our daily experience of being human.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you play any oldies in your in your workshop?
Definitely. That we should continue to expand our musical repertoire to make sure we're really covering all our bases. But yeah, it's a pretty diverse musical DJ station.
Yeah, there's so many things going on here. There's so many possibilities here. And I know here at eSETI, with our new studio and, with the works, the place here, the center here is just growing leaps and bounds. And, you know, the main building here, the hall here, has all this space to do, you know, all kinds of movement and things like that. And so I think it's great, you know, that that you're coming out to do this workshop here and bring, you know, the art and the dance and the breath and all the other things, the divine mm-hmm. feminine, you know, to the ranch. And anything we can do to support that, you know, you definitely count on us if we can do
Thank
any kind
you.
Of yeah, videotaping or anything else you want to do to bring that information out to others. But I think it's a huge void and it needs to be filled right now. And I'm trying to see how do you see this progressing? How do you see your work progressing and maybe getting out to more people?
Yeah. Well, I think that, I think what's exciting about getting the opportunity to be at a study and do this work there is that it's a great example of how work that's related to the body and to, you know, channeling the divine through the body can happen in a sacred physical space, like on land. Because, you know, the way that we relate to the body is also connected so much to the way that we relate to place and sacred spaces. And so I'm saying that because I think that, you know, Barbara and I both envision being able to take this work to different power points, like on the planet. So not just bring it to communities that can't always access it in urban environments, which is really important to us, but also bringing it to, like, points of power on the planet so that we're grounding this physical expression in these, like, places of charged energy on the Earth. Because I think that there's, like, a grid that's being activated around the world in all of these sacred spaces, and bringing our bodies to it and our breath to it and our consciousness to it is part of what really seals the deal. So I think that we hope that this work progresses. I mean, for the time being, too, Barbara is, in the United States with an artist visa, which is a really special opportunity. So we really want to take advantage of her time here and be able to travel with this work as much as we can, and then try to, you know, create some foundational elements that'll help us build a bridge between, you know, the Pacific Northwest and Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which is where she's from, where we can be doing this work across different cultural platforms.
Great. Yeah, I think that'd be incredible. I know here, we just did a workshop here, and we did a beautiful meditation where we went all the way up to our God self levels and then sent energy back into the earth to help the earth in, you know, her awakening and healing process. And you could feel the energy. I mean, we were all just like, you know, it was very intense. It was very powerful when we were done. And this, like you're talking, you know, the power centers and things like this is like an acupuncture point here on the planet. You know, it's a vortex, and so whatever we do here affects the whole planet in ways that a lot of people don't understand. But and so by anchoring that energy here, anchoring the divine feminine here, and, you know, just putting that out into the collective consciousness, it's like a big shock, you know, into the earth let's say like a major antibiotic that will take out this old patriarchal program, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the more that we do that work on a personal level, which is really easy to forget, it's so easy to forget, you know, how important it is to do work on ourselves and how much that ripples out to the collective, you know. But the more that we do that work in our own body, the more that we're doing that work to the earth body, to the collective body, it has to happen on a personal level for it to ever happen on a collective level.
Yeah, next time we go to war, we should just have a big dance off. You know, if everybody's dancing and spinning around and twirling, you know, the war's
Amen.
Over.
Amen. Absolutely. I've been thinking that for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think people in their heart of hearts really want, you know, to live according to universal law, and they want the brother, sister, love, and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. They all want that in their heart of hearts, but it's one of the problems is we're not accessing the heart. We're not, you know, nobody's really saying, what do you want? You know, we're saying, no, you can't have that. No, you can't do this. No, you can't. It's all control, you know,
exactly.
And nobody ever sits down and says, well, what do you want? You know, what do you need? You know, how can we assist you? It's just doesn't seem to be happening on the planet right now.
Exactly. And there's definitely, I think, especially in these really anxiety-provoking times where, again, there's that psychic turbulence, I think that the mind is really overactive. And the mind is so necessary and such an important tool. But when the mind decides to take over for the heart and for the body, we're out of balance. And so I think that's yet another reason why doing work that's body focused and body concentrated is like a really powerful way to bring ourselves back in balance with our minds, so that our minds can bow down in service to the heart versus run ahead of the heart and, you know, cause mayhem and anxiety and basically, you know, disassociation.
Mm-hmm. I know some of the Yigong we do here, it's called the absence of mind or no mind when you do these practices, and it balances out both sides of your body, the male, female side. And you know, you have to, when you do these practices, because, you know, you're using both sides of the body at the same time, it actually, you know, forces you to balance out your brain and your body as well at the same time. But, you know, I tell people this is, when you give the mind something to do, because it has to do the movements and things like that, it doesn't have time to think about all the other nonsense going on. And then
exactly.
it gives spirit a chance to come in and connect.
Exactly.
In. And I, you know, one of the things I was meditating once, and Babaji came in, and I asked him, I said, you know, what's the most powerful teaching we can give here at the ranch? And he told me, put a shovel in their hands, you know. And he goes, yeah, give their mind something to do. You know, get them in touch with the earth, give their mind something to do. We'll do the rest, you know. So,
absolutely.
You know, I thought about that later. You know, when you do repetitious things and you're working with the earth and things like that, it is a golden opportunity for spirit to come in and bring healing and knowledge and wisdom.
Absolutely, yeah.
So where do you see this going? I mean, I know you've got, like, if you had this big wish list on how you could take this, you know, to the world, how would that be or how would that work out?
Gosh, if I had a big wish list, or if it was Barbara and I had a big wish list, I think it would, you know, it would basically look like and the opportunity to travel as much as possible to really different communities that have different needs and are both, you know, urban and rural, to bring this work to groups in an intimate way. And then to simultaneously be building kind of the foundational principles that would help us create, like, you know, a center or a landing point where this work could also, like, find its home in one place or have a couple different centers where it could find its home and where various different works could come out of those centers, such as classes and maybe movement companies and, you know, somatic healing work, an area where lots of different somatic counselors could gather and work, classes for young people. You know, that would be my big grand vision. I wish I had Barbara on the line with me to kind of echo in her vision, because she has a really articulate, beautiful way of describing her passion about this. But I'll do my best to represent both of us right now.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great job. You know, I love your vision. I love the energy that you're working with, and it sounds awesome, and it's definitely needed at this time, you know, to anchor this energy in, and I've seen over and over, I've talked a lot about that. I know in the UFO community, they've just shoved the women out, and they're focusing on nuts and bolts, and the ones that really know what's going on are usually the women. You know, they're working with kids, and they're bringing the kids information out, you know, and there's like Barbara Lamb, and you've got Mary Rodwell and things like that, and you know, they're working with the children and counseling the children, and they're bringing all this incredible information out, and most of the men in there just want to make nuts and bolts and keep us with our necks cranked in the past, you know, back to Roswell. And you know, I mean, how long can you kick that dead horse, you know? It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, there's these beautiful ultra-dimensional beings waiting to embrace us. You know, why do we want to be looking back at a bunch of wreckage, you know, for 60 years? It's kind of getting old. So I'm curious, have you had any experiences with any of the, you know, like the Pleiadians or Orion Council of Light or Andromedans or any of those groups? Have you had, you know, any kind of dreams or visions or contacts or kind of remembrances of maybe you might have been one of them in the past?
Yeah, you know, in my own meditation journeys, I felt pretty connected to the Pleiadians. that's mm-hmm. been the one that comes up for me a lot. I don't always know what that means, you know, because when it presents itself in like a visionary meditative state, it's not always very linear, but that's where I feel resonance is with that,
yeah.
with that entity. Yeah. And I felt connected to that when I was at the ranch as well. So kind of echoed for me what I'd previously encountered in personal vision.
Great. Yeah, there's so much energy here. The Pleiadians are so anchored into this land.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a stargate, and it is a place where people can connect, you know, with their star nation families and past life connections and things like that.
Mm.
And it's very anchored in here. But I know the Pleiadians have more of an energy investment. Even in the planet, they have more of a biological, both human genetics, animal and plant genetics, than any other race. And so, so we're very connected to that, and they are returning, you know, and bringing new techniques and new ways of living and dealing with things, such as what you're doing right now.
Mm. That's powerful to hear that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Pleiadians dancing right along with you while you're here. They might be unseen, you know, but who knows? Maybe they'll make themselves known, and we'll get a couple visitors that pop in, you know, and
yes.
say hi to us.
We would welcome that. Absolutely.
Now, there's a lot of feline energy that we've noticed has been coming in lately, and the feline energy, there's a long history of this. People think you're nuts for talking about it, but, you know, the Narsringa, the Pashat, you know, the... You've got Sekhmet in Egypt. You've got Nerissa, who's
yeah.
the protectress of the gods. You know, there's a long history of this feline energy, and a lot of people have actually been felines, either fifth, sixth, or seventh dimensional felines in the past. And I noticed that what really brings that out is dance and drumming, you know, didgeridoos, fires, things like that. You know, when you can work with that kind of energy, that it really brings out that feline energy, and they actually come in. The more, you know, you're doing the drumming, the dancing, and other things, they'll come in and hang out, and they may be in a fifth dimensional body or a seventh dimensional body, but you know, if you are clairvoyant, you'll actually see them participating.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's the beauty of kind of the magic of that threshold that I think we activate when we're using movement consciously with divine intentions and with the breath, is that even though we're anchoring ourselves in the physical body and the physical world, we're really allowing these gateways to open for these other entities and spirits to join us. And I think that's the power of the body too, is that it's the body is a gateway. The body itself is a stargate, you know, and knowing how to move within that gate opens up so much space for magic and for connection too on a lot of different dimensions.
Yeah, I want to share a story. I've told it before, but there was an experience I had once. I was meditating, and it was like a light door opened up in front of me, and I saw this being, and her name was Bagheet, and she was a feline being, like humanoid feline being. And she was sitting there like moving side to side with her tail wagging behind her. And she was going like, come play, come play. And the next thing I know, I went through the tunnel and I was there. And I was right alongside of her, and I had a feline body. And I started running on all fours just like she could. They're mostly upright, but they can run on all fours if they want. And they are so agile and so graceful and so fast. It just blew my mind. And then after that experience, I came back to this body and I go, you know, this really sucks, you know, compared to the body I used to have, you know. So
sure.
I wonder if that probably happens. I'll bet when people are dancing, these lives are triggered, you know, and memories about these lives are triggered, and they start, you know, feeling themselves moving like a cat, you know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, accessing these different, again, cellular memories of power and of different ways of inhabiting, you know, your physical space. It's so powerful to have access to that. Yeah. Ultimately, even if you have to return to this body, you've opened a channel, you know, that feeds you and that nourishes you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What a difference me is. I said I want to go back and pick up that other body again. That'd be fun, you know, fun to be on Earth, you know. But it's I know we have those capabilities. You know, we have I know some llamas that have some pretty amazing abilities to, you know, actually run till they're actually walking on air. It's like you know, things that's called grass lighting and things of that nature. So we have all those abilities. You know, we've just forgotten them, and there's nobody really teaching it out there.
Absolutely, and
that's what I think we need. Like you were saying, we need a template of a place that has, you know, all of these teachings in it and all these different modalities for people to experience. And one of my dreams too is to have these incredible healing technologies that help people heal very quickly and gracefully, and not just emotionally and mentally, but also physically. And that's right around the corner, because we have those technologies now. I know where they are, and it's just a matter of bringing it together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine your body level, your oxygen levels being at 100%, and what that does to the body, and how much energy you'd have? You know, it's just amazing. And, you know, we have that capability right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the potential is there. And the capacity that we have is enormous.
Mm-hmm. So have you got any workshops planned or any other events that you've got planned coming up in the near future besides the ranch? Or is there a way that people can get in contact with you, like a website or a phone number or whatever you wish to offer?
Sure, yeah. Well, we don't have any other workshops this fall, although we hope to have some things planned in the winter, spring. And we're in the process of putting together a website that will better represent this specific work and the two of us as a collective. For the moment, the landing page, the best place to get in touch with us is to go to urbanbodyproject.com, which is the film and video manifestation of you know, some of the work that I've done and that I've done with Barbara in relation to bringing dance to the camera and to screen. So for now, urbanbodyproject.com or urbanbodyproject@gmail.com is the best way to make contact, and then eventually we'll have something that's more specifically related to this work that we can redirect people to.
Great. Could you repeat that last one? I don't think a lot of the audience didn't hear that.
What
was it again?
Yeah, urbanbodyproject@gmail.com.
Okay. Great. And that was the main one, the best one for them to get a hold of you.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or urbanbodyproject.com is a good website to check out.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to experience some of that and see some of your work. And I can't wait for you to come out to the ranch and bring that energy here to the ranch. I think it's, as I said before, we're really working hard to bring in, you know, more art, more dance, and a lot more divine feminine energy. And we've always supported the divine feminine here and brought in a lot of speakers, you know, a lot of female speakers that ordinarily are overlooked or have been pushed out, you know, of the spiritual families or the UFO community and things of that nature.
Well, we are so honored to be able to come spend time at the ranch and do this work with you guys. We're so excited about it. So thank you for creating the opportunity.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. So I'm curious, is there anything else? We're going to have to close out here pretty soon. We're coming up to the end of the hour. So if there's anything else on your mind, anything else you want to leave the audience with, it's all yours.
Well, I think I would just maybe sign off by saying that I really welcome everyone that, you know, interested in opening up any kind of dialogue with their body to come participate in this work, and that it's, you know, it's really tender to be embodied. It's a really tender experience that is both painful and beautiful, and the more that we can cultivate huge wells of compassion for what it's like to be embodied, the more that we can build community and strength on the planet. And I think that, you know, there, it's never, ever, ever, ever too late to begin a deep dialogue with your body. And age is a total illusion. So that this work is open to everyone at all points in your life, and no matter what struggles or illnesses you might be dealing with, the body is always available for dialogue. So I would encourage that.
Awesome. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Give your partner a big hug there for us too, and can't wait till September when you come out and do the workshop. And again, go to eSETIevents.com if you want to find out more about this. And keep up the great work, and hopefully we can anchor this in here at eSETI.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, James.
All right. Well, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, stay in the heart, and start moving. You know, move around, get your bodies moving. Anyway, good night and have a great evening. Mm-hmm.